North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. It is Friday, May 29th, and you've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week here on Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Chris Bessler and Jack Freeman. Good morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. Hey, I got to say, you sound especially clear today. Why is that?
That's right. Yes, clearer, probably more intelligent, and it's because of these new microphones. Yes.
I don't know if they help you on the intelligent side, okay. But definitely clearer.
Yeah, that's right. No, very good. We have new microphones in the studio, new equipment, new cables, mics, shock mounts, and much of it was badly needed, especially people who have been in the studio know that the shock mounts in particular were falling apart, literally.
Yes.
And at least one of them had gone. So we got these new ones thanks to a grant from the Community Assistance League.
Yes, and huge thank you to the Community Assistance League for that. It's a much needed upgrade here.
It is, it's going to make a difference to our broadcast quality, I believe. And Jack Freeman is here as well from the Bonner County the Bonner County Daily Bee. You're the city and education reporter.
That's correct.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. And thanks for being here, Jack, on this morning after a severe thunderstorm, which I think is where I'll start our news headlines with those thunderstorms. Were either of you affected personally by that?
Well, we had a heck of a show.
Yeah, indeed.
It was really pretty cool to watch. We had a vantage point where we could kind of look out. Jack, it's probably going to be reporting today. There were some fires set off.
Yeah, very small fires. One right by where I live. So saw that lightning strike way closer than anything I've ever seen before. But luckily, I was safe and everything. So
cool.
Didn't look too bad as well when I went by. So hopefully everybody's safe.
According to the reporting that in your paper, editor Carolyn Lopsinger was talking to the mayor, and there were no injuries reported, I guess, at least as of the time that the article was written. But multiple downed trees, damage, and several outages, it was a little chaotic here in the studio this morning. Everything was all topsy-turvy. We were broadcasting, which is good, but downtown we must have had a power outage because a lot of our equipment had kind of reset overnight. In Sandpoint Fire and Mutual Aid from Northside and Selkirk Fire responded to a structure fire at a multifamily dwelling, 1600 block of Pine Street, and a possible fire in the 100 block of North Lincoln. Multiple accidents throughout the county with downed trees and power lines reported. There were, at one point, 170 outages affecting up to 17,000 customers reported by Avista, although now that crews have been out working on it, and within our area, it looks like it's mostly just some outages down in the Sagal area anymore on the Sagal Peninsula. There are still some people without power, but power has largely been restored as of this morning. Let's see. In the Panhandle Health District, which covers the five northern counties of Idaho, commissioners from those five northern counties met with the PHD representatives on May the 20th to vote on their fiscal year 2027 budget and denied it 4-1, citing issues with Panhandle Health District's environmental regulatory actions and with a cost of living adjustment for employees of 2%. They have until only June 1st to set a budget for the Panhandle Health District, and they are mandated by state law to pay into the Panhandle Health District budget, but they are allowed to set it. Anyway, we'll talk more about that on a future show because it's quite a story, and the coverage in The Reader by Sansari Mitchell was very good and well worth reading. The Lake Pendere level is currently observed at 2,059.5 feet at Hope, which is just 3 feet shy of its full summer pool. In education news, I think it's worth mentioning that Lake Pendere School District Superintendent Becky Meyer recently finished undergoing chemotherapy for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and has actually remained working as superintendent throughout that treatment process. I think the prognosis is good, according to what I read in the Daily Bee from Idaho Ed News. In Kootenai, new interim mayor David Sundquist has been sworn in. He served on the city council for 22 years, and then before he retired, and says he remains up to date on all the city's projects and considerations. He takes previous mayor Nancy Lewis's place as she transitions to her new residence in Sandpoint. So Sundquist will be the interim mayor of Kootenai. And
Coeur d'Alene, you mean?
No, Kootenai. Right. The city of
Kootenai.
City of Kootenai. Although there is some news from the Coeur d'Alene mayor's office as well. I didn't read that full story, but it sounds like there's some conflict within Coeur d'Alene City Hall between the mayor and some of his and the city council when he was attempting to appoint a new police chief. Here in the city of Sandpoint, where we broadcast from, city council and the mayor used strong rhetoric against the repeal of their short-term rental regulations and against state law HB 583, which is the law that will require the city of Sandpoint to repeal its regulations and actually require any municipality to repeal any short-term rental regulations. Those regulations will now be set by the state of Idaho, and I believe the term used in Jack Freeman's headline was rail against. The city council railed against, and they prolonged the adoption of House Bill 583. I thought it was kind of an interesting move that they advanced the agenda item forward so that they could all talk about it and then voted unanimously against it. And they have said that they will do this again before the deadline of July 1st when the new law goes into effect. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I think that's well worth discussing. But in addition to that, the city of Sandpoint has been moving on other business. The parking fee maximums have been set, and the city council voted, or not just parking fees, but their whole fee schedule. The city council voted unanimously to adopt new fees, including maximums for the city's paid parking program. The fee maximums will be $3 an hour for non-permit holders in all city-owned lots, up to $5 an hour for overstaying in the two-hour street parking zones. City residents can purchase a permit for the city lots for $20 a year. Bonner County residents will have to pay $40 a year. The city can choose to charge less than the amount in the fee schedule, but they cannot go higher without amending the fee schedule. And then one other kind of interesting action in Sandpoint City Hall, there was a proposal by Mayor Jeremy Grimm to prohibit sale of Kratom products, but the motion was tabled, I believe, unanimously by the city council, and indefinitely. So that intoxicating substance will not be regulated by the city of Sandpoint, but regulation for that will continue to be a state and federal duty, I guess, here in town. Let's see. One more thing. The Idaho Transportation Department is, let's see, is
Lakeshore.
Yes.
J-turn, yeah.
Changing the way turns are made on Lakeshore Drive, or off of Lakeshore Drive onto Highway 95, just south of the Long Bridge in Sagal. Lakeshore Drive, where it meets up with Highway 95, you cannot turn across two lanes or across a lane of traffic and head north from Lakeshore Drive. You'll have to head south and then cross over into a left turn lane while you're southbound and pull sort of a U-turn to come around and then head north. So if you're coming from that side of the bridge, your turn will be different. And it's quite a diagram that they have of this, of the J turn, mm-hmm. but hopefully will be helpful with the public safety at that intersection, which is notoriously dangerous. Often causes accidents, severe, you know, traffic problems, and can lead to loss of life and limb.
It has.
On
many occasions, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, we were kind of talking before we turned on the microphones. Yeah, you always, it's hard to judge how fast that oncoming traffic is, and you think you can squirt across in between a couple of cars.
And there's a lot of traffic now, so it's, you have to wait a long time if you get impatient. That's when things can happen.
Yeah.
And the illustration that was in both the Daily Bee and the Reader, it looks like you make that right turn, and you head south on 95, and then you are going to that that wideout that they created for the J turn, but it's actually like a quarter mile down, mm-hmm. so you have a little bit of time to get over to that center center lane. But still, there's going to be it's going to be a confusing.
It was a learning curve probably to that. One other item I'd like to mention is in yesterday's paper, this recently elected Clark Fork Republican Committeeman Jensen Heisel is facing a residency challenge by Scott Herndon, raising questions about his ability to hold the seat. Of course, we had major primary elections in North Idaho, well, across the state and in other states across the country last Tuesday. And one of the more interesting developments was these precinct committee races within the Republican Party for Bonner County. And there have been a couple of different factions trying to establish control of the Republican Central Committee. So since it's always so fun to talk about elections and politics,
shall we start there?
Yeah, because Jackie, I think you've got the only story on this one so far. How does this, how will this progress? Herndon is challenging he submitted it to the Bonner County Clerk's Office, a challenge of Heisel's residency. And now is it up to, who's it up to determine whether he is indeed a resident of Clark Fork or not? What happens next, I guess, is my question. Now that the challenge is in place, do you know how this...
I think the question is where he sleeps, because he has a business address, and he has he does have a home address inside...
Yes, he owns property in Clark Fork.
Yeah.
The decision, I believe they're going to be making a decision at the Bonner County Republican Central Committee reorganization meeting tonight at 6:30 p.m. I believe that is. That'll be an executive session. They're going to give him a chance to kind of work through the law, and I believe they'll have a vote on that. This seems like something that's being handled inside, even though he is elected to be a precinct committeeman. It sounds like the BCRCC is a private organization who can kind of decide if the laws were not followed. how they'll progress forward with that. I doubt whatever decision is made at the meeting tonight will be final. I guarantee that there will be some sort of legal challenge moving forward. So we'll just have to see what comes out of that. I'm sure that there will be an announcement from either side, and we'll just kind of see how this progresses forward. I see it being a longer fight than just this meeting.
Yeah. I'm not sure, and maybe it's not, I'm sure it's certain somewhere in the bylaws, what happens if they deny him. Will there be another election? Or does the BRCC have the right to just kind of appoint a candidate of their choosing to fulfill his term? Do you know that?
That I'm not sure of.
Yeah.
As of right now. Yeah. I would imagine that it would be an appointment, but we would need to see. I think it might depend on how the legal challenges progress following this.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
So you think there'd be a challenge no matter how the decision is made?
More than likely. If I had to imagine. This is it's a very complicated and minute situation. I was just reading something very similar happened in Ada County with a county commissioner, although that was before the primary election, that there was some coverage on that. And so these things can drag on and end up being dealt with legally, because there are legal implications if Heisel is found to have lied or purposefully lied about his address.
Mm-hmm.
So to clarify, he has a business address that's outside that precinct?
Outside that precinct, yes.
Okay. And but he has a residential address, is where he was registered to vote, inside the precinct.
Yes, he owns property, and that's what his that's what he used to register and file for candidacy. But he does not live there. He rents that out. And he lives at another place in Clark Fork.
Oh.
I believe so.
But he's in Clark. He's living inside the precinct, but not at the residence that he had listed as his official residence for voter registration.
That is what Heisel contends. I think, you know, Scott Herndon would probably say that he's got a business address outside of it. And there's, you know, there's too much clouding to move forward. So we'll see how that progresses. But yeah, there's about three different aspects at play and a couple different laws. So we'll have to see what the BCRCC's decision is, and then how either party decides to move forward. I know Herndon referred this case to the Bonner County Prosecutor's Office for potential perjury charges if there is the if he's found to have willingly lied to be in the Clark Fork precinct. So, we'll, like I said, we'll just see how that moves forward.
Hmm. I mean, it, yeah. Zooming out a little bit, it's Heisel was part of a group of kind of challengers to the current group holding power over the Bonner County Republican Central Committee, and Herndon generally is considered the leader of that group, has been the chairman, although he has stepped down so that he can seek higher office. So that fight is ongoing, basically. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me unlikely that you'd be seeing a challenge of his residency from Herndon if the kind of the shoe were on the other foot, if you were part of that that existing, you know, kind of group of that currently holds the power within the Republican Central Committee. I wouldn't want to say that for sure, but you know, that's the people challenging his residency are those who are more or less politically opposed to his position.
Yeah.
So there's the drama at the Bonner County Republican Central Committee, which is always chock full of it. Okay, let's talk about the city of Sandpoint and a busy city council meeting last Wednesday, I think?
It was, Wednesday. Yeah. Yes.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Starting with the short-term rental regulations, I suppose. So let's paint paint the picture here. Going back to kind of the end of last year, it was a really long process working its way through the Planning and Zoning Commission and taking lots of public comment and public meetings. Eventually, the city council voted to establish some short-term rental laws that it felt at the time were in line with state law. It was a major effort at City Hall. I mean, something that took up a great deal of time and energy, and then in coverage here on our airwaves and in your newspaper. And then with the stroke of a pen, the state house has, and Governor Little signed House Bill 583, which bars cities from having any regulations outside of regular health and safety regulations on short-term rentals. So no business regulations upon them at all. You can regulate them. Bill Dean said that you can regulate them like a regular residence. You can say you have to have smoke detectors and that sort of thing, but you can't take, there can be nothing having to do with the kind of the business aspect of the rental. Those regulations are determined by the state, and right now there are no regulations on them at the state level. Yeah. So how did the city council respond to this? The city council of Sandpoint, what was their take on the developments in Boise?
Yeah, we've seen some tiffs at City Hall every once in a while, but this is one issue that the mayor and the city council have stood united on basically the entire time, that they are pro-regulating short-term rentals. And that just kind of came out where everybody kind of took their turn on the dais, basically saying what Jeremy Grimm said, this is some of the worst legislation I've ever read, which is strong words, from a mayor to the state house. But that was basically what they went around saying, was that they don't agree with this. They don't feel like they're able to fight it because it would put them in a position against state law in a expensive lawsuit that they would more than likely lose, even if they feel like they're in the right. And so we kind of get this attitude of a very reluctant yes vote for something nobody in the room wants to do.
Did all six of our city councilors take a turn to speak on it?
There was only four in attendance.
Oh, yeah.
But all four did.
Yeah. And the mayor as well, who's been particularly vocal, I think, on this issue. I'll mention that House Bill 583 was supported by our District 1B Representative Cornell Razor, opposed by District 1A Representative Mark Sauter and District 1 Senator Jim Woodward, although for further information, neither Sauter nor Woodward will advance in the recent Republican primary. It's unpopular at City Hall.
But is this much more than a protest vote here?
Yeah, is there anything they can do?
So Deb Ruhl is quoted as saying that, she wants to see it read many more times, but in the end they're going to have to.
It's state law, and municipalities have to follow state law. That was what the whole fight initially that we just talked about at Planning and Zoning and took up a lot of our time at the end of last year. That was a big thing, was that we don't want to do this, but state law requires us to. And that's something that we're seeing again, basically. Mm-hmm. And so it is basically a protest vote, but I think it speaks volumes to how unpopular the legislation is here, not only with the public, but with the people who they've elected.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything in talking to folks at City Hall, or even just people interested in housing policy, any actual concrete non-symbolic moves to do something in response to House Bill 583 other than mere compliance?
Well, I think this will end up being a fight back at the State House again. I mean, that's kind of at the level where It is, right? Mm-hmm. When I talked to Governor Brad Little when he was here, he basically told me that he didn't even think that that bill was perfect and that he would work on it again if reelected. So we could see more regulations. I mean, who knows what he means by work on it, right? Maybe he wants...
And he doesn't get to write the legislation. That comes to the House. Yeah.
He said he would work with the legislators to continue to work on this. I don't know where that settles or where that goes. But that's probably where we're going to end up seeing a lot of the fight. I know the cities, the Resort Cities Coalition, which Sandpoint is a part of, they have a lobbyist down in Boise who was trying to fight House Bill 583 with another bill. So it's possible that that effort continues to try and fight at the State House. But that's probably where you're going to see. You know, you're going to have to read the Idaho Capital Sun and everybody down there who's got the scoop on that.
Yeah. Let's see more from the city hall meeting.
Let's talk about, we only got a few minutes left. Let's talk about they approved parking fees, mm-hmm. but it's kind of interesting because they're setting maximums, which there's going to be kind of a sliding scale on these.
That's correct. Yeah. And just before we continue, correction, county residents pay $35. That's my mistake. I miscounted. So a little bit cheaper for everybody out there.
For $35 for an annual pass.
For an annual pass, yeah. That's correct.
And it's $15
for... $20.
$20.
For a city resident.
For a city resident. And also we should clarify that the you know, when you're in a two-hour street parking zone, first 2 hours are free.
Still, right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. These fees that they set are maximums. They can kind of ebb and flow. Depending, there's obviously going to be a digital system with kiosks moving forward. So they'll be able to set the prices if, let's say, there's a low demand day, they can lower the prices to maybe try and attract people downtown. And then on those higher days, you know, you're not going to be paying $1 an hour to park at City Beach on July 4th, probably. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to go up to their maximum there. This kind of gives the city a little more flexibility when they do roll this out.
Mm-hmm. And... good question. When will they roll it out?
I believe Jason Welker said they're looking to have the permit portal up in sometime around mid-June, so city and county residents can purchase their permits before the complete rollout. I think they want to give them at least a couple weeks to kind of get everything sorted so it doesn't all roll out at the same time, because you can imagine what a disaster that would be if people showed up and nobody had passes and there were kiosks everywhere. So we'll probably see the city kind of ease into this because they understand that this is a new thing that they're trying and they want to get it to work so people aren't just outraged and actually use the system as it's intended to.
People will be outraged.
Oh, well, that's never going to change.
Saying, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how many people will actually step up and buy the annual pass, even though it's only $20. Probably going to take a while for that to kind of
I just percolate. Got news here from Jason Welker, planning and community development director, that they're going to start selling permits on June 8th and kiosks will go live July 1st.
Okay.
At least that's the city's plan right now. So that's coming up quick. So people have to be aware of that. I'm sure there will be a whole announcement about how to buy your permits and where and
be a lot of information about that. One thing that's going to be important, even though you get the free 2 hour parking, you still need to go to the kiosk, right? I think that's part of the deal.
Yes. Yeah. 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 You will need to start your.
So you can't just park and walk away from your car. You'll need to visit the kiosk to let the city know, hey, and I'm parking here. If I overstay my 2 hours at that point, a fee would kick in.
I believe there will be an app as well. And I believe that you can text a number as well.
Yep.
They talked about that. So you won't have to go to the kiosk every time. You can maybe do it from your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems like if you have an account, that'll kind of stay. You can click a button there.
Yeah, that makes it a lot more convenient.
Hopefully there won't be these long lines at the kiosks. Hopefully.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that rolls out. I think for some people that'll be not a difficult adoption. And, you know, anybody who's used to living in a city, probably this will be a very comfortable thing to do. And then for some of our longtime residents, I think this is going to be a real, there's going to be some.
It's a learning opportunity.
That's what it is, Chris. It's a learning opportunity. Yes. Okay. Well, here we are and it's 8:30 again. Anything else we should be sure to mention?
Something coming up here?
Hey.
In your In your beat, in your reporting beat?
Another city council meeting coming up Wednesday, so we'll get to follow all the fun there. And then obviously I'll be following the Bonner County Republican Central Committee to see how this develops, because like I said, I doubt it'll be going away. So,
And that meeting is tonight.
Yes.
To determine Heisel's residency status and whether he'll end up on the Republican Central Committee or not. Or, you know, or will the fight continue?
Yeah, yes.
I guess. Okay. I would just like to mention that we're a week from tomorrow. Everybody is invited. Jack, that means you. Everybody's invited to join us at Matchwood Brewing. 2 to 6 in the afternoon where we are taking over the facilities. We'll be hopefully outside if the weather's nice, and it looks like it might be clearing up. And we're launching our community can, which is called 15 Beers on Air. That's because this is it's like 15 years on air. Get it? Because it's because that's how long we've been on the air. So this is a big a party. It's, of course, free to attend. The beer costs money, but you can come on.
And if you buy the beer during the event, then you're actually making a contribution to the radio station.
This is true.
So proceeds, you can drink a beer and, you know that you're doing a bit of community good there.
Proceeds from the beer, go beer sales of those of that can. And I believe from some portion of the particular keg at the bar will be, we'll go to KRFY. And supplies are limited.
There will be 15 beers on tap as well as on air.
Yeah, yes. There you go.
This is June 6th. It's next Saturday.
June 6th, 2 to 6 in the afternoon, yes. And it's going to be
Metroid
fun.
Brewing, yeah.
Live music as well. We'll be broadcasting live from the event. And everybody's going to be there, and it'd be nice to see some of our listeners in a friendly setting outside of the radio station. Mm-hmm. Okay, well then. Time for a little music, I suppose. We'll play something by Peter Gabriel to kick off Otto's Eclectic Mix today. Jack, thank you once again for coming in and joining us here on North Idaho News of the Week. Jack Freeman is the city and education and roving reporter for the for the Bonner County Daily Bee, and his byline can be read almost daily, 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep.